Back at it once again, you and I chatting it up on a brand new week, Thanksgiving week on Monday, November 25th, 2024, right here on Connecticut Today, where I opened up the show with some startling new numbers regarding recent accidents involving Connecticut school buses. We also aired remarks from State DOT Commissioner Garrett Yucalito about safety on Connecticut roads and the continued installation of wrong-way driver alert systems. And former CBS News Moscow Bureau Chief Beth Noble dropped by to discuss the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine.
Pass the stuffing, please. Just give me, honestly, Thanksgiving week, just give me a bottle of Diet Coke and the stovetop stuffing. I'm not fancy. It doesn't have to be homemade stuffing. Just will you pass me the stinking bowl of stuffing, maybe a little piece of turkey, maybe a scoop of a dollop, as they like to say, of mashed potatoes, little gravy, a splash of gravy, and that's it. Hey, how are you? It's Monday. It's the 25th. It's Thanksgiving week, and the holiday week is underway here. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And great time yesterday. Chris Williams and I, along with John Kamal and Melissa in the morning, Melissa Sheketoff, all hanging out, seeing the great people at the Stamford Downtown Parade Spectacular yesterday, about a mile and a half of parade revelers yesterday saying hi to us, waving, and nice day. Yeah, I tell you, Stamford does this right. A lot of the great people we see every year. So thank you for stopping by and waving at us and taking pictures and all that. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/voiceofct.com, and check out some of the great scenes yesterday. I want to check out this to begin, because this is something I please try and straighten me out on this, honestly, because this is something I just don't get. And when you put this in the pantheon, as they say, of stuff that just shouldn't happen, let's start with this. And I'll take this headline from the Hartford Courant, although it's a story that's being covered all across the state. Love your input on this at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Just listen to this headline in the Current. Hundreds of school bus crashes happen each year in Connecticut. It's happening more, quote, and it's not good. Hundreds. Now, I don't know whether this has anything to do with what we talked about previously. We saw months ago that the city of Bridgeport almost had to be shamed into starting to actually hook up these video systems on many school buses in the Park City because of how many people just weren't paying attention and were deciding to just pass buses and, you know, put small kids at risk here, coming close or sometimes not even coming close, causing some accidents here. I don't understand why this happens. Now, I'm old. I'm not that old, but I consider myself old, and I remember I'm old enough, right? Are you and I old enough to remember where one of the things we were taught, and we've talked about this before, and I'm going to bring it up again because I'm passionate about this. We were taught, right, when we took driving school, whether we took driver's ed at our own school, or whether we were some of the people who went to a commercial driving school, you know, you were taught, hey, ease off around school buses, right? Take it easy. We know you're in a hurry, pal. Everybody's in a hurry. Take it easy. But yet we see this in the Current. Each year in Connecticut, there are hundreds of crashes involving school buses, and it will likely continue to grow. This Current story here by Sean Krofsik. Now listen to these numbers. Again, this is just something that there's no excuse for this. It just should not happen. Through November 20th of this year, which is, what, 5 days ago, right? So last Monday was the 18th. So 19th was, so this past Wednesday of last week, through Wednesday of last week, there have been 575 crashes involving school buses through last Wednesday. That's according to an office at UConn. They keep a crash repository, as it were, of accidents in the state. In 2023, there were 805 crashes, and in 2022, there were 927 crashes. Now, I read this and I say, well, okay, I'm sure somewhere in these police records, in the accident reports, whatever, I'll bet you there are some instances where the school bus driver driving that bus, he or she, him or her, was probably found at fault. Of course, humans are humans, right? Sometimes the school bus drivers are at fault. But you've got to think, and I'm just saying this on my prodigious gut, what it tells me. You've got to think that the vast majority, maybe 80 or 90% is my guess, that some of the fault there lies with the bus driver. But still, 575 crashes of school buses through November 20th of this year, and I guess that's an improvement, because in all of last year, there were 805 crashes and 927 in 2022. Now, having said that, I know sometimes, and you and I know very well, I know sometimes that weather is a factor. In fact, a little secret here that was told to me years ago by a school superintendent in the area when I was doing school closings in the morning, not here on another radio station. And it was a morning where there was no snow. There was supposed to be a big storm. The storm had taken a turn overnight. And this person had called me and said, "Hey, Paul, I'm calling in. We're not open today." I said, "Well, geez, there's no snow on the ground. And the storm is peeling off." And this superintendent told me, "Yeah, but it's actually the," and that's what he told me. "It's actually the school bus companies that won't run. They dictate it to us because they don't want to get sued." So, yeah, I understand weather can be something that the bus companies try and avoid. But there's an article here in the Current. I want to get deeper into this, and especially if you're, I want to start with this today, a lot coming up on the show. But I want to get into this because this is just something that I was taught when I learned how to drive, and I'm sure you did, that you just didn't do. Like, you really backed off around a school bus. What is wrong with people today? No, obviously, seriously. Now, I know things happen. Maybe somebody darts out into traffic. Maybe the bus driver makes a goofy move. Maybe the person driving is a moron, which, you know, more and more of those on the road. But what is the deal today? And especially if you're a school bus driver in the area, Fairfield County, Bridgeport, Stamford, Norwalk, Shelton, Ansonia, Derby, in the Valley, talk about some of the stuff you've had to encounter on the roads. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. What is up, for God's sake, with all these school bus crashes? I don't get it. Maybe you do. Ah, happy Thanksgiving week to old Thunderthroat there. How about him? He sounds good. Boy, he tell you, he can gouge down the turkey and the stuffing, and nothing slows him down, sister, huh? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Again, I wanted to start with this because this just drives me nuts. Hundreds of school bus crashes happen every year in Connecticut. How is that possible? Now, I know a school bus is a motor vehicle, much the way your car or camper or RV or motorcycle is. I get it. So on some level, I get it. But according to this UConn crash data repository, through last Wednesday, so this Wednesday is the 27th, so through last Wednesday, November 20th, there had already been 575 crashes involving school buses this year. Last year, it was on pace to be even worse. Last year, 805 crashes. And in 2022, 927 crashes. I understand it's a big state. There are 169, I guess there's some combined districts, but there are 169 school districts in and about the state. So, yeah, if each district had two or three crashes a year on an aggregate manner, that's not all that much. But to me, it is. There was one just the other morning last week, a public school bus up there in Vernon, 8 elementary school students hospitalized after minor injuries were encouraged on a field trip. They went to the hospital. Some of them were released on Thursday, the next day. And according to city and town officials, the bus wasn't speeding. The bus was doing 50 miles an hour, which is actually pretty slow on I-84. And one official said it looked to be a case of distracted driving. He said, quote, "How do you not see a giant, big, yellow school bus? Somebody must not have been paying attention." He added, quote, "It's happening more and more, and it's not good. I don't think it's a school bus problem. I think it's a societal problem. More than speeding or DUIs, I think distracted driving is the biggest problem." And it is. I saw some guy, zooming past me the other day on the Merritt Parkway heading home from the station here, and he's looking at his phone. He's looking at his phone. If I could have reached over and punched the guy, I would have. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. So far this year, the most school bus crashes were in January. Of the bus-involved crashes in 2024, 452 were with other motor vehicles. Yes, because people aren't paying attention. Josh Morgan, who you know Melissa has on here in the morning from time to time on the Melissa in the Morning program, spokesperson for the DOT. People drive too fast and are distracted and driving impaired. That's a recipe for a disaster. Gee, you think marijuana may have something to do with it? Think so? Can't talk about that, though. Shh, don't mention weed. Don't mention the weed. Because if you do, that means, you know, you're mentioning something that, geez, I don't know, changes your frame of mind. But we can't talk about that. Because that was the way suburban white people said they were going to be nice to the inner cities. We'll let you sell marijuana. Morgan added, there are too many crashes involving school buses, far too many that can result in students getting hurt. We don't want to see anybody hurt on Connecticut roads. Too many drivers are speeding and driving recklessly. Some are watching videos on their phone. I've seen that, too. How about that? Watching videos on their phone. And here's my pet peeve. You know, by the way, thank God, I read this last week. A couple of major car manufacturers, I forgot which ones they were. I got to look back on this. But I read where a couple of major name manufacturers, guess what they're doing? They're going back to knobs and switches on their dashboards for things like, I don't know, the heat, the AC, because some of their engineers found that, geez, hey, maybe people instinctively or instinctually, whatever word you want to use, understand that they can keep their eye on the road by, you know, adjusting the knob on the left for the fan speed, the knob in the middle for the vent position, and the knob on the right for how cool or warm or hot you want it. Instead of having a hunt on a touchscreen, okay, let me tap this for climate. Okay, we got that. And I'm going 80. I'll slow down a little. All right, now I'm going to tap this for AC. Oh, I got to tap again. Okay, now the fan speed. Where the heck is the fan speed? Oh, I'm just about to hit that school bus. Hold on. All right, turn over there. All right, now let me set the fan speed on 2. Oh, that's better. This is why this stuff is happening. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Since the year 2015, so going back about 9 years or so, 8 or 9 years, there have been over 8,600 crashes, almost 7,000 crashes involving school buses in this state. 11 of those crashes had fatalities. 46 had serious injuries. Two of the fatals were in this year here. How is that possible? Now, I know, could it be the bus driver's fault? I know, I get that. It could be, but come on. We know that most of these are due to the chooches and the cavones driving in the morning, watching a video, returning a message. Oh, my God. My God. How about the way cars don't care around buses? This is mind-numbing. Hey, earlier today, Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont, joined by DOT Commissioner Garrett Yucalito and State Public Safety Commissioner Ronell Higgins, they were in the valley. Hey, they were in Naugatuck. today. I know, but that's the way the locals tell me they pronounce it. If you go out there, is it true if you say Naugatuck? They say, where are you from, pal? Talking about a push this coming holiday week. Well, we're in the holiday week now, but as people get on the roads tomorrow and into Wednesday, talking about safety on the roads, and in particular, trying to keep people from driving the wrong way.
My name is Garrett Euclido, Commissioner of Connecticut Department of Transportation. Thanks for being here ahead of one of the busiest weekends for traffic on our roadways. But unfortunately, as we see often, this time of year is often one of the most deadly on our roadways as well. And this is an opportunity for us to raise attention to this issue and alert the public to the crisis we're seeing on our roadways. This crisis, as we know, is being fueled by speeding, intoxication, and often just poor decision-making by drivers behind the wheel. When it comes to crashes, though, there's one type of crash that is often the most deadly and most injury-inducing, and those are head-on wrong-way crashes on our interstate highway system, often at night and often at high rates of speed. 2022 was not only the deadliest year on our roadways in recent history since the 1980s, but it was also the year when wrong-way crashes killed 23 individuals, more than ever before in our history. Governor Lamont and our legislature came together to invest in a best practice that we know saves lives. So last year, Public Act 23-51 called on Conduct to install life-saving wrong-way driving technology, something we had been doing, but not at to such an extent, and equip that with flashing red lights that and alert the state police as well as our Highway Operations Center. The mandate from the legislature was to hit 120 ramps before 2025. Today, I'm proud to announce that our crews have surpassed that goal, successfully installing life-saving wrong-way detection technology on 123 ramps that we've deemed high risk, and we're on track to complete 135 by the end of this year. This technology is saving lives across the state, and here in Naugatuck, there have been more than 14 activations, and all those drivers have safely turned around. We call that a self-correction. This is the second highest location next to Danbury. The system also captures video that shows nearly 80% of the drivers across the state who saw the flashing red lights self-corrected before anyone got hurt. This is one way that Conduct is improving driver awareness and visibility throughout the state. Our goal is to continue to expand this notification system to as many ramps as possible. I want to thank Governor Lamont, our legislature, especially one senator who could not be here who first started talking about this several years ago, Senator Fonfara. He was really pushing us to do this before we saw the huge uptick in crashes on our roadways. I urge everyone to stay safe and think about that before you get behind the wheel when you're celebrating Thanksgiving. We know the Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, is one of those deadly nights. So whether it's a designated driver, using public transportation, you calling a taxi or a rideshare, let's make sure everyone makes it home safely to share the holiday. We've added additional trains to the Hartford line, and we're pausing all non-emergency road work for this weekend also to try and reduce any potential incidences.
All right, and there you have Garrett Euclito, the State Department of Transportation Commissioner, DOT, saying that, hey, they're at about, what, 125 or 130 high-traffic exit ramps to where they have installed now some of these cameras, these motion detectors, these flashing lights, the strobe lights, what have you, to try and mitigate some of the carnage that he said in 2022 was an awful year for wrong-way traffic fatalities. So there you have Garrett Euclido, the Commissioner of the State Department of Transportation. All right, so with the incoming second Trump administration and wholesale changes, especially in the State Department, largely in some areas and ambassadorships, people wondering now what is going to happen to, sadly, still the ongoing war between Ukraine and Russia. Joining us right now is former CBS News Moscow Bureau Chief Beth Noble to talk about that. Hey, Beth, it's Paul here at WICC. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, Paul.
Thanks. Appreciate it. So you were involved for years, obviously, in Russia. So give me the long view here. What are you seeing? Before we get specific here, what's your overall, Beth, gut feeling about this whole thing here?
About the war? Well, yeah. You know, I about a year ago, people asked me, did I think the war was going to end in 2024? And I was like, no, I don't see it happening. But I'm a little bit more open now to saying that we could actually see some resolution in 2025. And honestly, that would be good for everyone on both sides, because thousands and thousands of people, of soldiers, of innocent civilians have died on both sides of this Russian-Ukrainian war, you know, not for a really great reason either. Yeah. So I think the world would be a better place if it ends.
So is this because there's a vacuum here of Vladimir Putin not wanting to deal or give any sort of a win to President Biden or Volodymyr Zelensky? Does he think he could get more once Mr. Trump takes over again? What do you think the dynamic there is?
Well, I think that, you know, it's not 100% sure what the Trump administration is going to do. But there's certainly been a lot of people in the administration and former President Trump himself saying, we need to end this. I want to end this. And so there's a lot of reason to think that things are going to change, that America may not be supplying the kinds of support that it's been supplying to the Ukrainians. Mm-hmm. So just to put it in context, America has given about $60 billion in aid to Ukraine, war aid. That's about six times more than the next country, Germany.
Sure.
So, you know, a lot of that money has actually gone to American defense companies, not to over to Ukraine directly. It's come as weapons. But, you know, that's a lot of support, and it's probably one of the main factors why Ukraine didn't lose the war in the last 2.5 years that they've been fighting. So I think right now President Putin is waiting to see what happens in the Trump administration. The Ukrainians are waiting. And meanwhile, everybody is just trying to grab as much land and do as much harm as they can until we get to January 20th.
Yeah, Beth Noble's with us, a former CBS News Moscow bureau chief. And Beth, you brought up land, and you said a few seconds ago, nobody really knows what this is going to look like when it ends, and it eventually will end, hopefully sooner than later. But isn't land is the big thing here, right? Where the, I guess, ostensibly new border would be drawn or marked here. Isn't that part of the chess game here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Russia has taken a lot of territory in eastern Ukraine, and they did something that they didn't manage to do in 2014 when they took over the Crimean Peninsula, which is that they created a land bridge from Russia through eastern Ukraine to Crimea. Mm-hmm. So now you could, you know, drive a car if you want overland, not over a bridge that they built from Russia. But, you know, it's now connected to Russia, and that was very important to Russia. But let's remember that Ukraine actually seized some of the Russian lands in recent months. They've lost about 40% of what they gained in an incursion into the Kursk region. So, you know, there may be some room to negotiate a little, that maybe the Ukrainians give back the part of Russia that they took and they get some of Ukraine back. But, you know, they're not going to get a lot of Ukraine back. And so their position, the Ukrainians are like, no, we want all our land back. And the Russians are basically like, no, we're keeping what we took. And that's why getting to a resolution of this war, unfortunately, is going to be very complicated, because both sides cannot get what they want.
And a lot of this, Beth, you hear enunciated in the years leading up to this, at least in the interviews I saw with Vladimir Putin. And he kind of had this mantra, Beth, of listen, you know, we've kind of acquiesced to everybody since World War II. We want Russia to be important again and have influence. And of course, with him, it's strong arming, it's killing people, whatever. But isn't that kind of what's driving him here? There's kind of this, for lack of a better term, this old Soviet or Russian paranoia here. And when I saw him in interviews, he feels, I guess, that Russia is not respected and their wants and needs are not looked at as viable.
Yeah, I think you're onto something, Paul. I lived in Russia for almost 15 years and, you know, was in the room, in a small room with Putin for interviews a couple of times during his presidency. And when you see him, you can understand that he's incredibly smart. He's incredibly sly as a former intelligence officer. But he really believes that Russia is the greatest nation on earth and needs to be treated like the greatest nation on earth. And he, you know, if you look at the world through his eyes, his job is to make Russia great again. And that's what he's tried to do. And as someone who's, you know, our country's kind of on the receiving end of that, goal. And so it's been complicated for the U.S., for China at times, certainly for Europe. But if you, you know, a lot of people say, you know, yeah, Putin's just crazy. I would say he's not. Mm-hmm. I would say what he's doing is doing everything in his power to serve his nation.
And finally, Beth, to that end, the whole thing about, I guess he signed some sort of change in level a couple of days ago that would prelude to using nuclear weapons. And again, people say, oh, he's crazy. He would never do that. But maybe in a short field situation, he would. Do you think that was bluster or was he serious about that, if we can get into his mind?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can ever, you know, poo-poo someone threatening to use a nuclear weapon. That would just be a silly thing to do. Mm. But, you know, so he sort of changed it and said, look, if you're a non-nuclear power, but you're based, you know, backed by a nuclear power, we might use a nuclear weapon on you. But what he also did last week is he fired a long-range missile into Ukraine,
yeah.
The kind of missile that could actually reach America. And I'm not sure it had any kind of powerful warhead on it, but that was like something that Putin found to do that wasn't a nuclear strike, but demonstrated, hey, you know what, we're a really serious military and we have a lot of power left. So that was sort of a sign, I'm just going to flex my muscle and show you that, you know, you have to take us seriously. And we absolutely should. And so I think it's been very complicated to deal with Putin for the Biden administration. And I do think it's going to be complicated for the Trump administration.
Interesting. Beth, thank you. Former CBS News Moscow Bureau Chief Beth Noble. Beth, thanks. Well, I'm sure we'll chat down the road. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Beth Noble there, former CBS News correspondent, Bureau Chief there. In Moscow, you heard her. She lived in Russia, 15 years?